Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
So welcome to Killer Innovations. Glad you could join us this week. Yes, we are back in the mobile studio talking with entrepreneurs, innovators, to understand their story and what it can mean for inspiration for all of us out there to go off and try to take that next idea we've got. Today we have Jeremy Laval from ParkNav joining us, and we're going to talk a little bit about both the history of ParkNav, but more importantly, kind of the whole entrepreneurial experience, the whole startup experience. So first of all, Jeremy, thanks for joining.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's great.
So give us a little bit of background on you. One of the questions we always like to ask is, you know, particularly people who've, you know, been innovators, entrepreneurs, actually turn it into businesses, you know, is this something that started as a kid, or... Give us a little bit of your history.
Sure. So I think the entrepreneurial bug started when I was five.
That's starting young.
Yeah, I was a little guy, and I was, you know, one of those kids who had a lemonade stand or a Kool-Aid stand or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it started off where I even had an idea to buy salty pretzels and give them away for free. Because I knew that if they ate the salty pretzels when they were there, they would probably buy another cup while they were still standing there. Yeah. So it all started when I was super young.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And was it just something that you just felt the urge for, or was there a motivator behind it?
I think I wanted to challenge myself. You know, as a young guy, you're always trying to be, you know, you want to be noticed, you want to be something unique. At least in my mind, I wanted to. So I went the lemonade route, and that kind of started the whole process. And what followed was a chain reaction until now I'm 31 years old.
What did your parents think?
You know, that's a whole other story in itself. My mother, very supportive. My father, the traditional lawyer, so wanted me to do the traditional, the traditional route. But no, I stuck to entrepreneurship.
Yeah, yeah, it was interesting, right? I was a software engineer, and my mom was always the one of, you know, why don't you just go work for like IBM?
Yep, that's,
you know,
right.
go the traditional route. You know,
got it.
I did 13 startups.
Oh wow!
You know, before I finally got my first IPO. So, you know, a little bit of that endurance, perseverance piece in there. So, where'd you go to school at?
So I did my undergraduate degree at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign.
Yeah, I used to live there.
You used to live there?
Yeah, in fact, I was just there 3 weeks ago visiting there.
The cornfields, hanging out?
Yeah, cornfields, going for Illini Super Sweet, you know, get a little super sweet corn.
There you go, yeah. You know. And then I went back also for my MBA.
At U of I?
At the University of Illinois. Same school, same place. I loved it so much. I did it twice.
Did you back to back, or did you do a gap in between?
No, I did a gap in between. Wow. I was working for Target Corporation
in Minneapolis.
No, I actually, my office was in a city called Gurnee.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I was out there, and then you know, overseeing a bunch of stores, and then also at the same time doing startups.
So you were you had the side hustle going thing.
I had the side hustle going on, which actually is one of the reasons I left and went back to get my MBA. Just to, you know, I looked at it like a spider web. I had all these different pieces of knowledge from when I was growing up, and I kind of wanted to tie them together.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So then you went back to Urbana-Champaign.
I did. I went back.
To
the cornfields.
You had to get your La Bambas, you know, anywhere you look at it, right?
But, you know, so, but even before that, you know, I guess talking about the lemonade stand thing, everything kind of evolved from there. You know, the next step was I started a mobile DJ company when I was 12, doing 8-year-old birthday parties with a karaoke machine and disco balls. You know, $200 an hour for a 12-year-old. And it's the coolest thing an 8-year-old's ever seen. You know, next thing you know, you're booked every single weekend and, you know, growing it into something more substantial. So that's kind of that was step two. And then when it comes to having a business, you need to have marketing materials. So I taught myself graphic design with Photoshop and realized on eBay there were hundreds of thousands of stores selling exactly the same thing for the exact same price. And the only thing that differentiated them was perception. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to offer them a graphic logo or something in exchange for something they sell. And next thing you know, I was having arcade machines and all kinds of crap sent to my house, and I could either sell it or keep it. And so I was cutting out the cash part, but I was making more in the end than a professional graphic designer. And I can keep the story going that one of them was imported electronics from China, was one of the main car radio sellers to Walmart, a company called VR3. They kind of taught me how they did their process, and I imported some sample electronics, but from Shenzhen. But I and sold them on Craigslist. But I kind of learned that, and that got me into outsourcing. And then I started a website, outsourced the development, and that was college rides. And lo and behold, jump now to the MBA. I met a professor. I was introduced to him because we both had startups in the transportation space, and he's now the CEO of ParkNav. And I jumped on.
So this is a professor from U of I?
He was a professor in AI at the University of Illinois. And I was a business major. I was not an engineer. But a friend of mine who did a remote control school bus with him introduced us. And this is when I was off. This is before I went back for my MBA, because he lived in Chicago and would commute 2.5 hours. And we just started brainstorming every single week, you know, for my idea, what I was working on, and for his idea, which was now ParkNav. And we just kind of grew it from there. And I went back from my MBA, and we started an entrepreneurial group. We extended a meetup called the Bootstrappers Breakfast, which was, you know, we had meetups in the local community. Professors, students would all come, and we'd all just bootstrap, you know, kind of chat and brainstorm. And when I graduated, he said, you know, what are you doing? And like I said, I had my parents. My mother was supportive. My father was not. I had to make a choice, and I went with what I love, which was the startup.
Interesting. How important do you think it is for having, you know, when you're trying to do the bootstrap thing, when you're doing the side hustle, to have that community that you can tap into?
I think it's extremely important, because I think the most important thing that I learned was the mistakes that people made, because you can build off those and try and not repeat the same mistakes.
Right.
I mean, yes, you can take the successes. It may not apply, but you're looking for themes so that you don't do something wrong.
Right.
You want to keep things going in the right direction. So the community was huge. You can get advice. You can get multiple perspectives. I learned very quickly. I thought I had the answers to everything. No, you learn very quickly. You know nothing. Well, you may know something, but you know nothing. And it's great to get a different perspective from somebody who is disconnected from what you are doing.
Right. The dispassionate view that's not as biased of, you know, it's your idea or your thing.
Oh, yeah,
someone
to me,
from that outside. It's almost like a you know, pseudo board of directors or board of advisors.
You got it. And because of course you're going to think your idea is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Right.
But you need that pushback. You need those people to say, no, I did this and this is wrong or something. But as you mentioned, kind of like a mini micro board of advisors, and you can make different groups and kind of get different perspectives.
But part of the challenge, though, is in some cases some people just want to play nice. They just want to say, oh, no, hey, no, your idea is really good.
Yeah,
continue going.
You got to have a filter. You have to have a filter. I mean, of course, you need to have qualified. I mean, when I say qualified, when you're at this stage, I mean, what's qualified? But you just need to think of someone who can truly, who's had an experience that you can relate to, that you can apply to what you're doing, and you have to qualify it yourself and filter it. So,
well, I think it's also what I found, particularly with coaches and mentors, is giving them permission to critique.
Yes.
Versus, you know, going to someone and saying, hey, what do you think of this idea? You know, this happens all the time with product validation. You get this great product, take it to somebody, and you go, what are you thinking? Oh, hey, it's great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, no. I want the real answer. You know, I give you permission to rip this apart. Be critical. Find the flaws in it. Help me grow, change, adapt, improve, whatever it is.
I agree completely. Absolutely. People are nice, unfortunately.
Well, it's unfortunate, particularly in a startup world, right? Because, you know, there's a little bit of this aura of entrepreneurialism, right, where it's kind of got this little bit of a shiny glow. Everybody sees the big successes. You know, oh, you've got the guts to go out there and, you know, strike out on your own type of thing.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's one group. I guess you see different groups of people. You know, there's some people who are going to say, oh my gosh, good for you. You're doing it. You're going to see other people who say this is the dumbest idea I've ever heard. And then you're going to find everything in between.
Or you get the third people to say, oh, so you couldn't find a job.
Oh, yeah. Well, it sounds like my father, pretty much, because I went with the startup world, which is not true. But you know, yeah, you get a little bit of everything. You're going to also hear people, you know, who think, oh, wow, you're more ahead than I am, so I need to suck up to this person so that I can somehow do something or be a part of it. And, you know, you get everything.
Yep, you do get everything. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue on this conversation, talk more specifically about the problem that you guys were going after with ParkNav, and share kind of how that pivot and transitions happened to get ParkNav where it is today. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this short break. Carpenters have their hammers and saws, chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Rwanda is a shining example of how the global community can come together and rebuild a country after a devastating genocide. But there is still more that needs to be done. In the rural villages, students are crowded into schools with no electricity, no running water, no internet access, and limited sanitation. Will these kids be ready to continue the rebuilding of Rwanda, or will they be dependent upon others? Through education and employment, boys and girls have an equally promising future that can transform their struggling communities. For $20 a month, a child can be educated and a community strengthened. By supporting Pioneer Education Africa, a 501c3 charity, you partner with others to provide education that will prepare a generation to take on the task of self-reliance. 100% of the proceeds received go directly to the education of the children. Visit pioneereducationafrica.com to find out more.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Innovations. We're picking up the conversation where we left off after the first segment. So give us some insight. With Park Nav, what was the problem that you were trying to solve? You talked a little bit about it, you know, about, you know, autonomous school bus thing. So what was, you know, every innovation, and there was some spark or thing that became the catalyst. In the case of ParkNav, what was that?
Sure. So our CEO has the best story ever, and this is truly how ParkNav started. So he lived in Chicago, and he realized that his girlfriend refused to visit him past a certain time because she could not find on-street parking near where he lived.
I grew up in Chicago, so I can attest to that.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. But anyway, his research was, as I mentioned, he was a professor and did AI. And I should also note that he was one of the top 10 to look for in AI by the IEEE in 2006. Very, very intelligent individual. He wanted to solve the problem using his research. And, you know, I guess maybe that's not the big problem, but I guess it's an example of not being able to find parking. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a problem that major cities face all around the world. You know, they're becoming more and more populated. Parking is harder to find. I mean, I can give you stats. There's studies that have been done where they say 30% of traffic is a result of people driving around looking for parking. So it's a problem that exists everywhere. And I mean, if cars need to, it's something you're going to do multiple times a week.
Yep.
It's going to happen. And people are doing it all at the same time. So it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the motivation is he wanted his girlfriend to come visit her. In order to get that to happen, he had to solve the nav problem, the parking problem.
You got it. Well, that was the big motivator. You know,
right.
It's somewhat comical, but then again, it's a real problem in finding a practical solution to this so that way she can find parking.
So in this case, though, I mean, I've seen other parking solutions that are out there. Some of them, you know, use embedded pucks in the ground to detect the, you know, the metal of a car,
yeah,
whether or not the spot, you know, is occupied. Some allow for pre-reservation of a spot in a parking garage. I'm coming to a sporting event, I want a spot, that type of thing. So there's been a lot of attempts to try to solve this problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there sure
has. So, is there room for more innovation in this space?
Oh, of course there is. You know, you named a couple. First
right.
off, you named reservations and that kind of stuff. That's off-street parking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one area that's probably more mature. It's, you know, there's operators, they have a certain inventory, and there's resellers. You know,
right.
Like think of the Orbitz for parking garages and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Spot Hero, ParkWiz, whatever. Then there's valet, and, you know, they'll valet your car. And then, like you mentioned, then there's sensors. But The problem is you have to dig up the ground. You got to put those in. You got to have a whole infrastructure set up to have those things operating. Where we come in is we're using strictly data. We're getting data from telecommunication companies, mapping companies, car manufacturers. Everything and anything. And we're processing this in real time. We have a patented solution, mm-hmm. and we're able to do unprecedented accuracy in knowing which streets are most likely to have an open and available on-street parking space. So we focus on the on-street space.
So you're able, is it a predictive model then? You're predicting that a spot would be available, or?
So there's no, yes, in essence we are.
Okay.
Because of course, if we say something's open and 10 seconds later it's going to be filled. But yes, we do a predictive model based on terabytes and terabytes of live data that we're getting in real time,
mm-hmm.
that we are processing to give that accuracy.
Okay. So this is like data from cell phone usage, car data.
You got it. Everything.
So basically you're solving it with a big data problem on steroids.
You got it. Exactly. And I think you've probably heard this before. Data is the new currency, and that is not a joke. It really is. And, the data that's generated by the car, the data that's generated by your phone, there's data coming from everywhere and anywhere. But the trick is, if you are able to process that data, carefully connect the dots and make sense of it,
mm-hmm.
That's where the difference is.
Right.
And do it and apply it to practical, real-world problems,
right.
such as parking.
Right. It's interesting because you never think about parking as being a big data problem. It's the, is that spot empty or full? It's kind of an either, yes or no, zero or one.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot that leads into knowing whether that's a zero or a one.
Oh, there's
whether it's empty or full.
There's more than you can imagine. I mean, we just talked about what I like to call the dynamic data, the availability. There's also the static data. Let's say that a spot's open. I mean, how do you need to know whether you can park there legally at this time or not?
Mm-hmm.
That's number one, because it may look open, so we have to take all of this into account. An event, the weather, traffic, it goes on and on and on and on and on. Like you said, big data on steroids. And then we are able, that's all the data we are processing.
Yeah, well, weather would be an interesting one, having grown up in the south side of Chicago.
Oh, man.
The joke in Chicago is the snowfall at Thanksgiving, and you get your car back in March.
Oh, yeah. You ever seen the thing where you put your chair in the snow
and
you dig it out? You better not move that chair.
You don't move. Don't touch the chair.
Oh, no, no, no.
People, when they dig out that spot, they own that spot. Do
you
not park
it.
In that spot.
You got
they
it.
They spend that time. The people get, really nasty about it.
That's unfortunate.
And do you have to take all that into account, too?
I mean, we do, but probably not so much the chair situation, but we are... The data is coming in. We are, it's in the winter time. Things are happening, and we're getting data in. So, yes, in essence, we are, but that's just one small piece to, massive set of data.
Interesting. Because, Chicago is challenging, right, because you have both streetways and alleyways,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And people have gotten extremely creative on unofficial parking spots. Right,
yeah.
that are not part of legitimate inventory.
We follow regulations because, of course, we don't want we work with major automotive manufacturers, and we don't want to direct someone to where it is illegal to park.
Right,
that would not be a good user experience if you get towed or a ticket. We don't want to do that, so we try to avoid that.
Right.
We stick strictly to the regulated on street parking.
But you also keep track of. Time zones and whether I
got
to have a zone tag to park in that area.
We call that permit, residential permit.
Right.
We do it for metered parking, free parking, and permit parking. So you were mentioning the puck thing before,
right.
The sensor. Their business model is, let's put it where there's metered parking and we know if someone's overparked and write them a ticket. But they don't bother to do that for permit. They don't bother to do that for free because it's not in the business model.
Right.
They're not going to make money. The beauty of our technology is we can do it for anything and everything, all on street parking.
Interesting, because having grown up in Chicago, the parking problem is astronomical. But even now, I live in Colorado now. Parking in Boulder is an absolute nightmare, and in fact, in many cases, I'll avoid going in at night to go to a restaurant or whatever. I'll go out of my way because I don't want to deal with the parking issue. So. We're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up this conversation talking more specifically about the business, where you're at, what were the pivots that got to where you're at today, and then kind of what's coming up next for you guys. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this short break.
Allergy congestion, cut grass, cat on the sofa, dust in the carpet. Whenever allergy congestion makes you feel trapped, break through with Allegra D for 5-in-1 24-hour multi-symptom relief. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine with a powerful decongestant for fast relief that starts working in just 1 hour. Break through allergy congestion with Allegra D. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
BizTalk News wants to feature your business as part of our discovery feature, which highlights businesses that are not yet known nationally, but offer products or services that benefit BizTV viewers. Available in over 40 markets on broadcast TV and online via BizTVClub.com. BizTV wants to help get the word out about your business. If you're interested in having your business featured on a future episode of BizTalk Discovery, email us at discovery@biztv.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's 800-711-6812.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370. If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
So let's pick up the conversation. Where is the business at today from where you started? Because, I mean, like, I'm assuming, like, most businesses, there's starts and stops and challenges and pivots and... So yeah, give us a little bit of the timeline up to where you are today.
Yeah, so, okay, when we first started, you know, we knew that this was a problem for everyone. You know, the typical person driving their car has to find parking. So we're like, oh, okay, you know, we have the use case, perfect consumer, perfect buyer of the service. You know, we were thinking to ourselves, yeah, that's great. So we started going B2C. We quickly learned that, well, first off, you have to be able to solve the pain at the time that the pain occurs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're someone's looking for parking, you can't just say, oh, now you have to pay. And, you know, we put it in an application and it's like, oh, I have to pay, and it just causes more problems and people are stressed. So we tried different methods. We tried, you know, subscription, pay per use, freemium, all kinds of fun stuff. But we quickly learned they will use it. But similar to the way navigation has evolved, they won't pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So people use, you know, Google and Google Maps, and I think Telenav used to have one way back when, and MapQuest way back in the day. But now, you know, people expect navigation on their phone or wherever to be free. They still will use it, but they don't want to pay for it because they're thinking to themselves, well, you know, I just don't want to. So we then had to pivot, and we thought, okay, businesses, fleets, you know, people who drive cars who have to park multiple times a day. And we started targeting Joe the plumber and, you know, Sally the electrician and all those different things. And, yeah, we got some more feedback. We got more and more people who were interested. We started seeing that businesses are the way to go. We needed to shift to a B2B model. And then we said, okay, we really need to pick it up. Who are the real people, the real organizations that are interested in this? And then we thought, okay, let's combine the B2B and then to C. The automotive industry. And this is when things were just becoming ripe. I mean, we started in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation back then was, well, does it work? Now the conversation is, how does it work? So things have shifted. And now companies are more open to it. And as I mentioned, we're working with automotives. In fact, it was integrated into one of the largest German automakers in the world. I can't say which one it is, but it's in directly into the infotainment system. And now everything is just ripe for this technology. And the floodgates have kind of opened, and it's like, okay, well, we found one vertical along with a few others, but we've now found kind of the sweet spot.
Right.
I guess.
Right. Interesting. But let's go back up to where you made that pivot that it was going to be a B2B or go to a B2B to C. Was there something that was just obvious? Was it the fact that it wasn't working? You had to find another alternative? At the point in that, it's hard for sometimes people to let go.
It
I'm
is.
I'm down this
oh,
path.
Yeah.
And I just know it's the right path, and I'm going to do whatever's necessary, and I'm going to really push this when the pivot could be the right thing. But how do you get over that hump of perseverance versus stop and shift?
So, I mean, we were getting conflicting. Here, this was a big challenge for us because people were like, oh, yeah, parking is a nightmare. Parking's a problem. We love this, you know, we love the idea, we, you know. This is great. But then at the same time, people were not buying it they weren't doing. So we're thinking to ourselves, is it, we tried different things. Is it that we're not solving the pain at the right time where they have to pay? Is it that we're not charging the right amount? We tried different things. And finally, we decided, you know, after trying different methods, we decided, okay, this is just not working. We have to try, we have to attempt to do this in a different way. And we started brainstorming. We literally just had to, we noticed that it was not getting the traction it needed. And the hardest part, like you mentioned, was, you know, I guess the best way to say it is come to Jesus moment, where you're like, no, this is just not working. We have to figure something else out.
Okay.
And that's what we did. And we thought about, okay, who should we target? How should we target them? You know, we need to do businesses. Who's the ideal customer? Let's talk to some businesses. Let's literally go out into the street, find an AT&T truck, stop the guy and say, what do you think? Would you use this? And it literally went like that. We had to start from the ground up and get use cases that made sense, because we had already thought we had figured everything out with the consumer, but we were wrong. So we had to dig even deeper.
So when you said you thought you had it all figured out for the consumer, did you go through that kind of a rigorous really talking to customers, or was a little bit of confirmation bias? I think this is the answer. I'm asking questions in order to get a confirmation to prove my hypothesis versus really understanding what consumers are talking about.
A little bit A, a little bit of B.
Yeah.
That's probably the best way to say it. Because people, of course, we did have a bias, and this is, I think, a big problem. I think you're touching on a really, really big problem. You have your own bias, and this goes back to what we were discussing before. You need someone independent who's not connected and who's not afraid to say, this isn't working or this isn't a good idea.
Right.
So we really needed to talk to people. And we had to build our use cases and kind of go through everything again and just start from the ground up. I mean, but yeah, there was bias in there, and finally we decided, no, it's not working. We have to look at the objective raw numbers, and it's just not there. If it's not there, we have to make a change.
Right.
You can't lie to yourself when the money isn't coming in.
Yeah, or some cases people will try to rationalize it away.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. We need more features, or we need more advertising spend, or we need a rebrand,
you
can come up with 10,000 reasons, and it's all basically rationalizing away the realization that, no, there's a fundamental assumption here that we built the model on that doesn't work. At what point do you pull the trigger and then pivot?
You got it.
And was it obvious to go to B2B?
It was more obvious. I mean, that was the logical next step,
right?
I guess, because we did the consumer. We said, okay, who else parks many, many times in a given day and would benefit from this solution? And that's when we thought of, the utility, not the large, trucks, not delivery guys, because they're just going to do whatever, but think of like AT&T. I mean, this is just an example. I'm just throwing out a company name, but they have to park multiple times. They want to park as close as they can to a location. And, if they don't get to a customer in time, satisfaction is going to go down. And we later found out that for a lot of these organizations, they will take a ticket after a certain amount of time. So there's even a monetary savings associated with this. Now, this is the fleet vertical.
Right.
So that's just one example. But, then automotives, people are driving their car. The natural fit is you're navigating. You can see traffic. Let's just figure out parking all on the same system. So there was some smooth progression into this.
Right.
And it was a little, it was the obvious next step. Maybe not the very beginning. We thought it was the consumer, but it was, to us at least, the logical next step.
Yeah, it's 'cause maybe it's that difference between I'm parking because out of convenience as a consumer versus parking is a fundamental step in me delivering a service as a business.
Yeah.
And becoming that shift. So today, what is the segment that ParkNav's work focusing on? Is it the auto manufacturers?
It's the auto manufacturers. So
getting it embedded in is just part of the overall car
you
experience.
You got it. It's that one all in
one. Now, don't they turn around and charge the consumer?
Well, there's different models. Sometimes I can talk, I'll just give an example with one. They provide it for free for a certain number of years. Mm-hmm. And then yes, it's a a la carte service thing. You know, you can get traffic.
So it's like my Sirius XM. I get it free when I buy a new car for the first year.
And it's and great. I love it.
And then I get dinged by Sirius saying, okay, you want to continue listening?
You've gotten hooked. That's the point. They've given you that experience, and you don't want to give that up.
Do you have any understanding or insight into customers who've used it? They use it once, and do they use it a lot? How many customers actually use it?
Yeah, I mean, we get numbers. We can see where people are going. I mean, we kind of have a general profile, but it really there's no secret sauce to it. I mean, every region's different, every city's different. We get different usages. I wish I could give you a better answer to that, but you know, in the automotive world, when someone's driving their car, it's very personalized. It's an
experience of one.
You got it, because some people use traffic in their car, some people don't. Some people use navigation in their car, some use their phone. You know, it just depends. So we do have, you know, it's not as simple, but we do know people are using it. And we do know that they love it.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, what I'd like for you to do is to kind of look back on your experience. And if you could go back to the beginning using all the experience you have and give yourself advice, what would be that advice? Something that you wish you'd known when you started down this path that could have saved you a lot of pain, frustration, heartache.
The pain.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you some time during the break. You get to think about that. But when we come back, looking for you to share some of that advice with our listeners. With that, we'll be right back after this break.
Carpenters have their hammers and saws. Chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now, 800-303-3398.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind?
finding comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon and Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for people just like you for over 20 years. And best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. There are many conditions that make you eligible, including some you may not even be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Bill Gordon and Associates today for your free no-obligation consultation. See if you qualify for the Social Security benefits you need and deserve. 800-470-4453. 800-470-4453. That's 800-470-4453.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to the show. We're wrapping up our conversation with Jeremy Lowell from ParkNav. Now, I gave you a task at the end of the last segment to share some piece of advice based on what you've learned having gone through the experience here, right? We all think we know going in, and we all go through the experience of the learning. Here's an opportunity to share with our listeners, you know, two pieces of advice as an example that you wish you knew at the beginning that would have saved you, you know, some frustration, pain.
Sure. Right? So, you know, after we had pivoted, you know, when you're dealing with automakers and these large corporations, and you're a teeny tiny startup, you need to get their attention. You need to have some recognition of some sort. Otherwise, you know, you're just a little guy in a big pond. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I'd say that we learn now is rather than just going and trying to shoot from the hip and contact everyone and do everything, we were part of accelerators. Accelerators, and I know that this is something more and more people are seeing, accelerators or incubators, mm-hmm. and all these different things. I think that they are extremely valuable, and they are extremely valuable because, like what we mentioned, you're getting feedback. There's other people involved. You have mentors, but even more important, a lot of these accelerators have relationships with companies, mm-hmm. and so you can kind of get past all that bureaucratic red tape and all that good stuff. We were a part of Microsoft Ventures,
okay,
in Seattle, and I will tell you that was,
what year was this?
This was 2015.
So was Raul still running Microsoft Ventures at that time?
No, I don't believe it was Raul. Okay. Oh my goodness.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry. We're off on a tangent here in the show because we just had an EVP from Microsoft was in here a couple of hours ago for an interview. But not all incubators, accelerators are the same.
No, they are not. And I've gotten feedback that you need to qualify them, but in our case, like with Microsoft Ventures, they never said no to us. So they gave us Azure credit so that way, you know, we didn't have to spend any money on servers. We were given mentors. We were introduced to customers. We were a part of Startup Bootcamp Berlin, mm-hmm. More recently. And, you know, directly from these accelerators, we were, you know, you get that brand recognition. You kind of jump when they say they accelerate you, it's not a joke. They are literally giving you recognition, introducing you to people, and it really makes a difference, especially if you are targeting larger corporations and you're the little guy.
But it's also, in those cases, though, it's not everything's handed to you. You got to work it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, okay, I maybe simplified it in saying,
right.
Oh, yeah, if you're a part of it, you're good to go. No, that's not true. You really need, it's what you make of it.
Right.
If you do nothing, nothing is going to happen.
Right.
If you ask and you participate and you're aggressive and you really put your heart into it, you're gonna reap the rewards.
Right.
And I think that's where you are. It was never an easy thing. People don't just say, oh, okay, you were a part of this, here we go, we're great, let's sign up and let's do it. No, it doesn't work that way.
Okay, so okay. What's the second piece of advice?
The second piece of advice, when you are going and trying to sell your product to a company, we've learned that, I mean, I'm guessing a lot of people know this, there are many divisions within a company. You talk to one person, they may say no. You talk to another person, they may say no. You talk to another person, they may say no. You talk to a fourth person, they may say, this makes sense for us and it works. So don't give up. If a company says no to you and you're talking to one individual, that doesn't mean no. That means maybe just for that business unit, it does not make sense.
Hmm. Because typically when people get that no answer, then they're off looking at a completely different company.
Yeah.
What you're saying is keep drilling.
I'm saying keep drilling. Don't say one person says no to you. I mean, that's not the end of the line, not to mention, you know, companies, a lot of people shift and priorities change year to year. But I'm just saying, if someone says no to you, that's not the end of the story. You just maybe are not in the, they're not the right person.
Right.
And it's, think about it this way. It's easier for someone to say no than it is to say yes. You know, no, really. If you're talking to someone who is not necessarily the right decision maker.
Right.
They can, I mean, the only power they may even have is just to say no.
Right.
Rather than to say yes.
Well, it's always the joke where 99% of the employees have the permission to say no. 1% of the people in the organization have the authority to say yes.
So how do you? So that's who you need
to reach. How do you go find the 1%?
Yeah, exactly. And that, that's a whole other story. I mean, we're here at CES. This is a great opportunity. These conferences, I would tell people, conferences are your friend, at least to network and to build, you know, meet different people at different parts of the organization, yeah. Be introduced to more people. But that's the name of the game. Don't take no as a final answer. I mean. At least that's the way I see it. I won't keep bothering that one person, but at least I'll look within the company.
Right, exactly. So good. So two pieces of advice. One is don't overlook the benefit of accelerators, incubators, to kind of crack the door open when you're particularly a smaller guy, don't have the name recognition.
You're going for the big
the
fish.
Rolodex, and you're going for the big guys. Because most of the big companies now are sponsoring or supporting or mentoring and in as part of it, incubators and accelerators today.
Yeah, they're realizing that they need to get a pulse on the startup community. The smart ones at least.
Right.
They need to be involved.
Yeah, exactly. And also it's interesting because you also did Berlin, which means don't limit yourself just to the U.S.
Absolutely.
Also
not.
As part of it, take a global view.
Yeah, most of our business, I would say a significant portion, comes from Europe.
Right.
I mean, this is they even are more open to our technology than the U.S. I mean, the U.S. is open to it, but at least in Europe, it is. I mean, it's a hot topic.
And then your second piece of advice is, don't give up on the first no.
Don't give up on the first.
Keep
no.
drilling.
Keep
look,
drilling.
Look, find that other part of an organization.
Yep.
That could take advantage of it. Don't give up on that target completely just because you got the first no and
exactly.
in the door. That can be also personally frustrating, right? Because you know. How many times do you take no, right?
Oh, you need to have thick skin.
Yeah.
You need to really have thick skin because like I mentioned earlier, before people used to say, does your technology work to now, how does it work? Before when, you know, now there's parking and you see one every 2 weeks, like you mentioned. But before it was, no one thought that this was possible. And so we got a lot of no's and we really had to educate and crack that door open. And, you know, with every, you know, for every yes, there were maybe 100 no's.
Wow.
And so we really kept going. So it's huge.
So as we wrap up today's show, if listeners want to follow up with what you're doing, what's the best way to track you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can check us out at parknav.com. Think of parking navigation, but shortened to parknav.com. Or you can reach out to us directly at contact@parknav.com. We respond to all emails. We love any insights or anything that you guys want to send us. We love hearing from you.
Great. And we'll have all those links in the show notes. want to wrap up today's show. Appreciate you taking the time to join us, and I know it's out of your busy schedule. If you've got suggestions for upcoming shows, just drop me a note, phil@killerinnovations.com. We will have the show notes over at killerinnovations.com, and you can check back the 14-year history. Talk to you soon.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.